Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your place. The song that started our show tonight was in remembrance of Sister Jean Holland. I can see her in my mind's eye singing this and doing a little jig on the streets of pure gold, playing her harmonica on the instrumental solo part. For sure, she will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We just finished the 24-part Bible study on the life of Paul. It almost seemed fitting that Sister Holland's passing was at the time where this study was so fresh in our minds, still feeling in her passing to hold fast to the old landmarks. Bill was so blessed to have been in Christian school where Pastor Johnny Scheel taught the tabernacle. It was built to scale, a scale model of it. It is a foundational landmark for Bill to this day. So many things of where we speak of types and shadows of the Old Testament are in the tabernacle plan. You can see Jesus and the plan of salvation in it. Tonight we bring you a service where Pastor Anthony Mangan is carrying on the tradition of praying the tabernacle plan that his father taught him. Bill heard people judge this church for having the furniture of the tabernacle placed in their prayer room as an extravagance, but people don't know that this was in honor of his father who taught his son to pray the tabernacle plan. While Bill believes with all his heart that when Paul went into the wilderness to understand the God of the law, and in comparison to Jesus, he just met as Lord and Savior. Paul's understandings of the tabernacle plan was an old landmark for the unveiling of the specific plan of God for people today. We bring you this in keeping with the thought of holding on to the old landmarks that Sister Holland taught. We pray that you open up your heart and mind to receive this lesson tonight, and we pray that it blesses you as we move spiritually into the service as fresh manna for us today. And now let's have a listen.
This is an emotional night for me because when I was just a kid, my father taught me how to pray this. You may have read books about it before, but I don't think you've ever heard it or seen it, either until pastor started teaching on it or dad taught you of how to pray the tabernacle. This is the only building, tent, that was ever constructed that's never had to have another architect touch it. It's never had to be remodeled. It's never had to be changed. Because what you're looking at tonight was given not by man, but the Bible says it was given from heaven. Attention, the layout of every pin, everything about this was given by God. It was designed by Almighty God. There are seven pieces of furniture which represents perfection with God in this tabernacle. It's the brazen offer. It's the laver of water. And then you go, this is the outer court, and I'll talk about it when we're praying it. But then you go into the two rooms, which is the holy place. And inside that room are three pieces of furniture, which is the golden candlestick, which is the table of showbread, and which is the altar of incense. And then you go into the last room, which is the holy presence of God, or the holy of holies. In there, you will find the Ark of the Covenant. And then on top of that Ark of the Covenant, you will find that mercy seat that we all need. My father laid this out to me, but I never grasped it until my father passed away. When my dad was a very young man, he taught this to this church, but we didn't grasp it. But when God promoted dad, it was something that I felt like that God laid upon my heart to make this a part of this church and our lives. And every Wednesday, this is set up year-round, except that because of the time, because we have to use that room for overflow for our convention. But to those of you that are guests with us, you don't have to be members of our church, but you can come by here any day of the week, and this is set up in our prayer room to my left. And when you learn to pray this, it keeps you focused on where you are and where you are going. It keeps you focused on how to pray. I took my father's notes. If you do not have the book, my book will be for sale. We're not pushing that tonight. Out in the foyer tonight, that will break down the details. But I don't have the time to do all that tonight. But that will be in the book if you want to read the book and help you stay focused on how to pray. But this is one of the most powerful prayers that has ever been prayed. Tonight, I don't want this. I told the prayer room. I don't want this to be you watching me or you listening to me. So many times when I prayed the tabernacle before, it was pastor praying, y'all listening, and all of us sort of participating when we wanted to. Tonight, I really feel like that God is going to invade this place with his spirit. In my days of praying and fasting for because of the times, it wasn't just about because of the times that I prayed about. I prayed for this specific night. And I really feel like when we get to that Ark of the Covenant and we begin to declare the name of Jesus, I feel like God's presence is going to fall in this place. I believe people can be delivered tonight. I believe people can be healed tonight. I believe people can be set free tonight. In the name of Jesus, I declare that. So tonight, let this be a part of you. And the way Dad taught us this is the first thing we do is that the Bible says when you get to the door, when you're going into the outer court of the Gentiles, he said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. So the first thing we do in this prayer is we begin to praise God. And tonight, Lord, we begin to give you praise and thanksgiving for the things that you have done. You told us to praise you for your mighty acts. You told us to praise you according to your excellent greatness. And tonight, we enter into this gate with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, you said in Psalm 22 and 3 that you inhabit the praises of your people. That means you dwell there. That means you live there. So right now, Lord, we're building you a house where you can live. We're praising you with thanksgiving and with praise, oh God. We're giving you glory and honor for the things that you have done. We praise you with our lips. We praise you with our hands. We praise you with our voices. We praise you in the dance. We praise you on the high-sounding cymbal. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. We begin our praise to you. We begin our praise. Furniture in this tabernacle. If you will notice, all other pieces of furniture could fit inside of this piece of furniture. Where we're trying to get to tonight, and you can't bypass any of these positions to get here, but where we're trying to get to is right here. This is the power and the glory. This is the holiest of holies. But notice that the altar is much bigger than the ark. And what Christianity and even we Pentecostals want sometimes, we want big arks, but we built little altars. In other words, the bigger the altar, the bigger the ark. The more prayer and repentance, the more power and glory that manifests in itself. So Lord, we come to this brazen altar. God, this is where in the Old Testament that priest had to come with those lambs twice a day. He brought you one in the morning and he brought you one in the evening. And God, they put that lamb on him and it was a sacrifice for their sin. They would offer up that sacrifice for their lives, and you would postpone it. It was the altar. And then on the Sabbath day, God, they would bring you two lambs in the morning and two lambs in the evening. But God, you robed yourself in flesh. And you came to that altar that we call the cross. And there, God, you died for us. And it was for our repentance. And your blood was shed for our remission of sin. So tonight, we come here repenting of everything in our life that's not pleasing to you. Now, God, we know the obvious sins. We can see our obvious sins. Other people can see our obvious sins. But tonight, I'm praying like David. God, you go into the secret compartments of my heart. You go into those places, God, where maybe I haven't even visited. Forgive me of anything that's there that's not pleasing to you. God, I put myself on this altar of repentance. And I want you to burn everything out of me that's not pleasing to you, oh God. Because when that sacrifice got through, the only thing that wasn't burned up was your blood. But everything else, Lord, was burned. None of these great people that our pastor and our guests that are here, we climb up on this altar tonight. And we repent before you. Forgive us for our attitudes. Forgive us for the things we've said. Forgive us for the things that we have done, the places we've been. Forgive us, oh God, before you. For we do understand that we are unholy people trying to please a holy God. But we become your holiness through the power of your blood. So right now, we climb up on this altar and we all repent of our sins. And Mickey, we worship God in the altar of repentance, giving my all to him.
Just as I am.
Come before you.
But
walk around.
My blood,
we hold on to it. Move on us, Holy God. Forgive in this congregation. Move all over us, God.
Thou
let your spirit touch our lives right now. Let forgiveness come to your heart right now. On your way, repent to him right now.
Oh God,
tell him what you need to tell him. You repent before you. You tell him what you need to tell him. Give it to the Lord right now. Yes, I.
Give us clean hands.
Give us pure heart.
Give us pure heart.
We know it can't work without you. Forgive me. Anything I've said, anyone I've hurt. Any pain I've caused
you. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.
We leave that altar of repentance. And we come to the next piece of furniture. And this is where the priest would minister. This is known as the laver of water. So understand our prayer thus far. It's easy to learn. You open with praise and thanksgiving. Then you come into repentance. And I'm not going to go into dimensions on how big these are, but this laver of water. That priest was bloody when he got through here. And when he got through, opened up the sacrifice. And he had to wash his feet and he had to wash his hands. In the doctrinal layout, this is baptism in Jesus' name. When we're buried with him in baptism, we don't baptize here for church membership. We baptize here for the remission or the forgiving of all sins. But this laver of water and praying the tabernacle is where it talks about in Ephesians 5 that we're washed by the word. So when I get here, and I'm not going to do it tonight for sake of time, but when I get here, I pause and I read the word of God. I will read the Psalms. I will read the Proverbs. In fact, there's a proverb for every day of your life. This is where I stop and I allow the water to wash me, the word to cleanse me, and the word to breathe on me. And his word will watch us. And his word will cleanse us. Folks, we got to pick up the Bible. And God, right now, I pray your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank you for your word that you teach me how to live and you teach me how to walk. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Old Testament. Thank you for the New Testament. Thank you for the Gospels. Thank you for the book of Acts. Thank you, God, for the letters that were written to the church. And thank you for the apocalyptic book, that book of Revelation that lets us know the rapture is near and what's going to happen during and after. Thank you for your word. Wash us clean now with your word. Make us whole now with your word. Let your washing cleanse us. We've repented now, Lord. Let your word wash us and let it cleanse us. We leave here in our prayer. Our next move is we're getting ready to go to the Holy of Holies. And we go to the door, to the holy place. And we come to the door of the holy place. There are five posts. This is Bible. Five posts that are in this particular curtain. Dad, my father, name those five posts. Five posts are Bible. The names, G.A. named them. He named them Wonderful. He named them Counselor. He named it the Mighty God. He named it the Everlasting Father. And he named it the Prince of Peace. So when I come here, I begin to pray. You're Wonderful God. You're the wonder of it all. There's nobody like you. That old song says, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. You're the wonder of it all, God. Never let me lose the wonder of who you are and what you are. God, never let me forget what you have done. Let there always be an awe about your presence. Let there always be a wonder about me walking in to your presence. The wonder of it all. And then, God, we move to counsel. Counsel me, oh great God. Give me wisdom and knowledge. This is a magnificent church that you have given me the privilege of pastoring. But first of all, counsel me in my own life. You've got to give me wisdom and knowledge, God, to counsel my own life and to counsel Mickey and my family. I can't make it without your counsel. Counsel me, oh God. Speak to me. Let me hear your voice. Let there be a wide word of counsel. And then leading this church, God, give me wisdom and knowledge. Don't let me walk to this pulpit with just a message. But God, give me counsel. There are so many, God, that when I speak a word, they hang on that word. There are others, God, that whether it be in the confines of my office or whether it be around an altar, they're seeking godly counsel. Give me wisdom and knowledge. And for me to counsel them, you have to counsel me. So God, we seek your counsel. I speak it over our businessmen. I speak it over every business owner. God, I feel this. I speak it over every business owner, God, that's in this building tonight, that you will counsel him of what to do and how to do it. God, I pray that you will lead him or her in their business. And you will counsel them. I pray that you will lead. We as fathers and husbands are a single parent. That you will lead us as we lead our family. Counsel us, God. We need you in this day and hour more than ever before. Counsel us. Counsel us. You're not only wonderful in the counselor, but you're the mighty God. Thank you for robing yourself in flesh. Thank you for coming down here, oh God, and dwelling among us. There's no God like you. You're a wonderful counselor, and you're the mighty God. And Lord, you are the everlasting Father. And God, there's so many. Pastor Gentry preached a tremendous message this morning. There are so many, God, that's in this room. They don't even need to hear the voice of Pastor right now. They need to feel the arms of the Heavenly Father. So, oh great God, will you put your arms around them? Will you father us right now? Those that's walked to a casket in the last few days, oh God, father them. those that's going through traumatic situations right now, oh God, father them. Those, God, that's received bad news either for health or emotions or in their life, put your arms around us right now. Pull us close to you right now. For you said in your words, underneath are your everlasting arms. So, Father, we need you. Hold us close. Father, so Holy Ghost, pull us close to you. Let us feel you close to our presence, with your presence. And then peace. Oh God, peace. All of us are standing in need of peace. And tonight, through the unction of your Spirit, I pray peace into my life personally. I pray peace into my family, oh God. I pray peace into sweet Nikki and my children and my grandchildren. Give them peace, oh God. Give them peace and direct them. Let them know the ways of you. For in a world that's out of control, in a world where there's so much stress, in a world where all our backs are against the wall, give us peace that passeth understanding. Peace. Peace. Wonderful.
Calming down from the Father above.
Speak peace in your life. I speak into your life.
I pray.
Of love. Tell him I know the peace speaker. To your family,
I know him.
But speak it to your families over there. Speak peace into your marriage. Speak peace into your children's life.
I know the
speak peace into your personal life right now. He controls the wind and waves. I don't care what you're up against, he controls. And when he says peace, everything has to obey. Everything has to suffer and obey when he says to you.
They have to obey. I'm glad I know.
I want you to raise your hand to receive peace into your life right now. I want you to raise your hand to receive peace. Those of you watching on the web, our pastors, our missionaries, those of you pastoring and leading congregations, I pray peace into your life right now.
Peace.
Be still.
They have to
obey. Every wind, every wave has to lay down.
Hey.
And I know him by name. We have now entered into the first room of the tabernacle. Out here, no covering. The light was natural light. It was the sun by day. It was the moon by night. All of this out here was all natural lighting. But now when you move from this outer court and you move into the holy place, this only received its light from that seven golden candlestick, or the seven, or this menorah with the seven golden candlesticks that represents the seven churches of the book of Revelation. This was hollow, and whatever you poured in here, you could pour it till it filled up. This was the seven golden candlestick. It was oil that kept it going. The priests would visit this place twice a day. And when he came in, he would make sure that the wicks were clean, because there was to be no smoke. It was to be pure light that was to be coming off of this candlestick. There was to be no smoke. It was simply going to be light. And it had to stay full of oil. So he attended it twice a day. Where did he get the fire? He got the fire that never went out from off of the altar of sacrifice. He would bring the fire from that altar. He would bring it to the candlestick. And that's where he would light it. And he would keep that light going, because it was the light of the world. And great God, you are my light. God, direct us. Let it be a lamp under our feet. Let it be a light under our path. Oh God, let me stay full of the Holy Ghost and fire, that people can see light through me, that I can illuminate God. And when I walk in businesses or when I walk in rooms, let me be a candle, God, that will be a light for people to see. For we cannot make it without your light. We cannot make it, Lord, without you illuminating us, God. You are our light. Direct us and guide us. Lead us, oh God. We follow after you. You're the light of the world. You brought light. It's the first thing that was created in your world was light. And God, in this room, the only way we can get our light, the only way we can perform these other pieces of furniture is from this light. So God, let this church and let every individual in this room stay full of the Holy Ghost, oh God. Let us stay baptized with your Spirit, because you refer to your Holy Ghost, or you refer to oil as your Holy Ghost. Let this church, let these visitors, let us stay full of the Holy Ghost, God. Let us be full of your Spirit, so that we'll be a light that all men could see, oh God. Let us be a light. Let us be a light. Let us be a light in your righteousness, oh God. God, let your Spirit lead.
I want to be a witness. You can make it what's wrong and make it right.
They saw a shine that moment. Yeah, and direct me to you.
Day stars shine down on me.
Let me be alive.
Let your word
let me be alive.
To me in the night.
We leave there. Moving to our other piece of furniture. This is a table of showbread. On this table of showbread, on the Sabbath day, they would put 12 fresh loaves of bread. Those 12 loaves of bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, a lot praying the tabernacle focus on the bread, which is the word of God, which we did at the laver of water. My father, in his teaching right here, he focused on the table that held the bread. Now, I love the significance of that bread, because the priests would eat that bread, watch this, and it would give them strength for the journey. But when they took that bread out with them, and they sat down at a table to eat, the priests that had imperfections, the priests that were not worthy to go into the holy place, they could sit down and they could eat that showbread and they could celebrate Jesus. I want everyone in this room to know that God is your bread of life. And there's no one in here that God can't feed tonight. And there's no one in here that disqualified yourself from hearing the voice of God. But this is where that I pray for our leaders and for our pastors. And this is where I get a hold of God for those that hold the bread. Oh God, this word. And those that hold it, oh God. It is your word. I pray for our ministers in Canada, God. I pray for Brother Woodward, who's a part of our church. I pray for America and those that are pastor. I pray for Mexico, God. I pray for Central America missionaries. I pray for South America, oh God. I pray for North and South Korea. Oh God, give the missionaries that are worshiping behind the Iron Curtain in North Korea, give those missionaries a revival. I pray for Japan. I pray for Malaysia and that country, God. I speak over Malaysia. I speak over the Philippines that has the heart of this church, oh God. I pray for Brother Bodigas and Brother Bisanyo and Brother Trinidad and Brother Martinez and those leaders and that general board in Philippines. I pray over them, oh God. I pray over Singapore and Pastor Tim and those there that we pastor, oh God. I pray over them. I pray over Indonesia. God, we need missionaries for Indonesia. I pray over Indonesia right now. I pray over India, God. That's where we built Brother Tenney's Bible school, God. I pray over India right now. I pray over China. I pray for all the students that we have won in China. I pray for Brother Asaph that is in China, oh God. Give us a revival in China. Move into God those that are worshiping in secret places. Move on the underground church right now. God, I pray over our underground church in China right now. I speak over them that you touch them and you direct them, oh God. I pray over Australia. I pray over the Downs. I pray over Africa, oh God. I pray over all the nations of the continent of Africa. I pray over Madagascar and the Richardsons. I pray over the nation of Israel that you give us a revival. I pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu. I pray for the mayor of Jerusalem, Bekar, oh God. I pray over the Hunleys in the Middle East, oh God. I pray over all of our Europe missionaries. I pray over Brother Herod. I pray over Brother Robinette, Brother Tubble. I pray over all of our regional people that's there, oh God. I pray you give Europe a mighty revival. Be with our missionaries right now, God. Let there be a break in the spirit with our missionaries in Europe right now. Oh, Holy Ghost, let there be a break in the spirit for our missionaries. Let the Holy Ghost consume them. Ah, let the Holy Ghost move on them. And right now, God, I bring it back here and I pray over our ministry team here at POA. I pray over our pastoral staff here at POA. I pray over our Sunday school teachers. I pray over our ministry team leaders. I pray over our Sunday school teachers. Oh, God, give POA a mighty revival of your spirit and of your power and of your glory. Give POA a revival. I pray over every leader that's discouraged. I pray over every pastor that's discouraged. I pray over you, my brothers and sisters. I pray over you, missionaries, that your back may be against the wall. This church prays for you right now. We lift our voice for you. You're not in this alone. You've got a church and a group of people at 20 minutes to 7 tonight that's lifting our voice for you. You're going to come through it in the name of Jesus. You're going to be victorious in the name of Jesus. God is going to heal in the name of Jesus. God is going to bless in the name of Jesus. I speak it over all of our ministers right now. I speak it over all of our ministers. Would you just pray for the ministry right now? Would you pray over your Sunday school teacher right now? I said, pray over your Sunday school teacher right now. Speak the word of faith right now. Oh, God. We leave this piece of furniture, this showbread, and here we come to the altar of incense. That priest would get that all the different perfume together, stacna, onica, the Bible says, and calvinum. He would take those three spices and he would mix them together, and they would mix them and put them inside this bowl, and it was an altar of intercession. It was a sweet smelling savor unto God. It went up to please him. This became the altar of intercession. And when I get here, if it was spoken that the prophet took that censer, and when they were dying, he took the censer off of the altar. And the Bible said he went and stood between the living and the dead, and God stayed that disease and gave them the victory. You let me tell you, if that happened in the Old Testament, we have the authority through the power of intercession that God can bring down anything and do anything. through the power of intercession. This is where I know that I'm just getting ready to go through that to the Holy of Holies. This is where I give God everything here. I pour out my heart in prayer of intercession. This is where I intercede for myself, oh God. You know I'm human and that I've got to have you. And oh God, I intercede for Anthony Mangan. But God, first and foremost, I intercede for my family. Oh my great God, would you keep your hand on Mickey and on Gentry and Lexi and on Michael and Jeff and Eva and Gibson and my mother. Oh God, I intercede for my family. If there's anything that's coming against them, God, that I could avert it, I stand, I kneel here now, as Moses did, oh God, and I intercede for my family. I stay back anything, God, that could be coming against them, oh God, and I intercede for my family. And now, God, I intercede for this great church that I pastor. I intercede for this people. I don't know them by name, but God, you know that every day I take my phone in my hand, and we've got a Rolodex on there, and I hold that Rolodex in my hand. And I pray over every family. And I pray over every individual. And I intercede, oh God, for this church. I intercede for Central Louisiana. I intercede for our mayor and for our governor. I intercede, God, for our president, for our Congress. Oh God, America needs revival, oh God. And if you heard the voice of those intercessors, if you heard the voice of those biblical men and women of God, and if you heard the voice of those at the turn of the centuries, and if you heard the Wesley brothers, and if you heard the Spurgeons, and if you heard the Evan Roberts, if Evan Roberts could get on his face and shake a nation, God, I believe that I can intercede before you, and I believe that you will intercede for our nation. So tonight, oh God, I intercede for our families. I intercede for our nation. I intercede for this church. Let it be fresh before you. Let it be fresh before you. And now, God, that I've interceded, this is when we change garment. Now, everything we've done, we have obeyed your commandment. And we've had on that kingly garment. And we've had on our kingly garment, and we have moved. But now, God, when we get here, those priests would change their garment. And they would take off their kingly robes. And they would put on those linen white robes because they were going to worship you. And when they got through interceding, they begin to worship. And they begin to give you praise. And they begin to give you glory. So God, now that I've prayed this tabernacle to this point, and now that I've interceded, I'm going to stop here. And I'm just going to worship you. And I'm going to give you glory. I bow down before you. I worship you, Almighty God. I worship you, Almighty God. I worship you, Almighty God. I worship you. Oh. I said, let the presence of God fall on you. You worship Him right now. Yeah. I worship you. I worship you.
Jesus, may you receive the honor that is due.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering.
You, I bring
an offering of worship. Listen to you. Let it be sweet, God. Let it be a new smell. Come on. Give God a new praise right now. Say something to God you haven't said in a long time. Tell Him how you love Him right now in a special way. Give Him worship tonight in a special way. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I bring. I feel like in this congregation we need to worship Him right now. Listen, tell Him how much you love Him. Would you just tell Him how great He is? Worship Him. Tell Him how great He is. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Worship Him. Worship Him. that, God. Smell that. That's a fresh smell to you. We're mixing up a new perfume for you tonight. This isn't your Sunday night service, God. This isn't your Sunday night church. This isn't us going through our Pentecostal catechism, God. This is, we've stopped everything right now. We've stopped everything to worship you, oh God. We've stopped everything to worship you, oh God. We've stopped everything to worship you. And we come. You may be seated. Oh, Lord, the presence of God is here. Dad brought us to the veil. Oh, his presence is so strong in here, people. I just speak whatever you need. We're going to, it's supposed to happen behind that veil, but there's something moving here right now. Speak it into your life. Your worship has brought his presence. There's no Pentecostal workup deal here. There ain't no drums and a bass thumping right now. This is your worship to him that's pleasing. But there were four posts that held the veil. That's Bible. But what was GA? His dad named those posts. And he said, Anthony, if the veil was torn, which represented his flesh, then why wouldn't we go to when he lived in the flesh? So Dad named these four posts Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because the veil, those gospels represent his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. So Dad would pray this. And when he taught me to pray, it was, oh God, I want to be like you. God, you gave us those Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Oh God, help me to live the Beatitudes. Not just those 10 or 12 verses of the blessings, but let me live all of those Beatitudes. Let me live your parables that you taught about. Let me live like you live. Let me go to a well. Let me find a sinner and take them to dinner. Oh God, don't let me be afraid to be associated with people that other people may not like. God, don't ever let anybody's lifestyle or the way they live ever separate me from telling them about you. Even if I don't like them, even if other people may not like them, don't ever let me not become like you. And God, you loved so deeply. And let me love like you love. Let me love people like you love people. Let me walk this earth. But when the disciples said, and they got through with that Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw you metamorphosed before them. They saw you literally transfigured before their eyes. And they saw your deity, and they saw who you were, and they realized who you were, oh God. Let me have that kind of revelation of you. God, let this church get a new revelation of who you are. Let us get a new revelation of what you came to do. God, let the gospels get a hold of our lives. Let us live those gospels. Let us talk those gospels and direct our steps. For it is our life It is our goal to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him.
From earth to glory,
on earth
I only have
to be
like Him.
When I prayed all that, we know at the cross that veil was torn in twain. And now we're moving into a room that's 15 by 15 by 15. If you will notice, there's another city that's 15 by 15 by 15, and that's the New Jerusalem. But we're moving in here. We're moving into the holiest of holies. We're moving into where the Ark of the Covenant is. And on top of that Ark of the Covenant set this mercy seat. And that blood, that priest that brought that blood when we started this thing 35, 40 minutes ago. When we started this thing here, he took that blood in one bucket and he had fire in the other bucket. And he started moving through these different positions and placing the blood. The blood was applied at every position. The blood was applied at the laver of water, at the candlestick, at the showbread. The blood was applied. Then, when he went through this veil, however he got through there, no one knows. But when he got behind that veil with that blood, Jerry, he took that blood in that mercy seat. And he put that blood on that mercy seat. And Almighty God was blinded by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what sin you had ever committed. I don't care what you had ever done. When that blood is applied to that mercy seat, every sin that they had ever committed was postponed to another year, but now with the cross had been washed away. That blood has been applied to that mercy seat. Thank you for your blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't want you to call. I'm not trying to get you to call any remembrance of your darkest day. But tonight I stay here in a full assurance of the Holy Ghost. And the darkest day that you've ever had in sin, I'm telling you, it's put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And every sin you've ever committed has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's washed away by the blood. It's washed away by the blood. Would you sing it with me? Go ahead, Mickey. I like that song right there. What can wash away my sins? Lift your voices.
What can wash away my sins?
Lift your voices.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? I'm about done, but inside that ark were three things. There was a pot of manna. There was a tablet of stone, the Ten Commandments. And there was Aaron's rod that budded inside of that ark. So when I get here and I get through praying the blood and the mercy of Jesus Christ, I go and I pick up that pot of manna. And that's again where I go to the Word of God. Josh, that's where I talk about the Word of God. That's where I declare the Word of God. That's where I allow it to become the marrow of my bones. I allow that Word. And then I go to those Ten Commandments and I begin to pray them. And I say, God, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I will put no God before you. I will not take your name in vain. I will honor my father and mother, mom and pop Lumpkin, my dad and my mother. I will keep your Sabbath, Lord. I will not murder, oh God. I won't take my tongue and talk about somebody and kill them. I won't commit adultery, God. Protect me. Let me build walls around myself, oh God. Keep me from adultery. Oh God, don't let me covet. Oh God, don't let me steal. And oh God, don't let me lie. Let my yeas be yea, and let my nays be nays. Oh God, let me live the commandment that you gave us. Let me say to this church right now, that's a place you need to pray. We can sit around and talk about not being able to put the Ten Commandments in our schools, but we can put the Ten Commandments in our heart. And we can pray them, and we can live them. And we can witness them in our lives. We can live those Ten Commandments. And last but not least, and I'm just about done, but this is where we're going to declare the name of Jesus. And I want this church to believe with me right now. I'm going to declare the word here in the morning. And when we do, the power of God's going to hit this place. And people's going to be delivered. And people's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking with tongues. And people's going to want to get baptized in the name of Jesus and get their sins washed away. Every sin you've ever committed can be washed away tonight. But inside this ark was Aaron's rod that budded. It represents the authority. It represents the power of the name of Jesus. And I declare to this church, as you rise to your feet right now, I declare to this church, through the authority of the name of Jesus, and by the power of the Ark of the Covenant, and by that rod of authority, God, we pick it up. And in this room tonight, I declare your authority. I speak your name. You said in your name we could cast out devils. In your name we could speak with new tongues. In your name we could lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. So in the name of Jesus, I speak healing in this room right now. In the name of Jesus. Listen to Pastor. I have felt this. I declared it this morning. If you're a guest, you do not have to do this, but if you're comfortable doing it. We're getting ready to have mass healing in this place. God suffered 39 stripes for our healing and our iniquity. We're getting ready to have mass healing in this place right now. And I want you to grab the person's hand beside you. And I won't, listen, don't you wait for Pastor to declare it. Listen to Pastor. Don't you pray for yourself. I want you to declare it for somebody else right now. Would you do that with me? Lift your voices and lift your hands. And in the name of Jesus, let healing come over this congregation. I declare healing. 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 Yeah. Listen to Pastor. There are those of you in this room that you've been bound by things. Seven is in here tonight. You've worked the steps, and I thank God for the steps. I thank God you've worked them. There's others in here that's been bound by circumstances, and you've been intimidated by them. Tonight is the night. At 7:03, those chains are getting ready to fall off in the name of Jesus. We pray through this tabernacle. We began with praise. We've gone through every piece of furniture. And now we've reached the Ark of the Covenant. We've picked up that rod of authority, which is the Word of God. I pick up that rod of authority in the name of Jesus. I pick up the Word of God in the name of Jesus. And right now, through the authority, I command everything that is bound in this room to be set free by the name of Jesus. I command our children to be set free. I command our families. I speak your word. I speak your word. I speak your word. Those habits that you couldn't break. Those things that had you bound. Those things that you'd get up and you'd come back down. Today you got victory over them. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare victory in this place. I declare healing in this place. I declare deliverance in this place. I command people to be set free in the name of Jesus. I command our prayer life to be changed.
Let there be healing across this congregation. Let there be a sweep of your spirit. Those of you that's been hurt, somebody's hurt you, or someone's hurt you, or some church has hurt you, we speak healing to you right now. Those of you that's had families that's been fractured, your families have been affected by things that's come against it. I command healing to families right now. I command healing in the name of Jesus. God, you will move in this place. And one more time tonight, through the authority, would you lift your hands and your voices and just don't do it for a minute. Declare victory in this place. In the name of Jesus. And to our guests, you may not understand this. This is going to be our last command tonight before we leave. You may have never received the Holy Spirit evidence with speaking with other tongues, but it's for you. And God can baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, we've repented. We poured our heart out to God. He said, that's all you need to do. I'm getting ready to give a command. And when I give that command, as you begin to worship God, if you've never spoken with tongues, you can speak in tongues that quick. You can begin to speak a heavenly language as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Those of us that have had the Holy Ghost, those of us that know how to yield to the Holy Ghost, when I give the command, everything in here, lift your voice and let there be an unction in the Spirit begin to flow from you. And you can begin to speak that heavenly language as the Spirit of God gave you the utterance. Now, God, through the authority and the power of the name of Jesus, I speak to everyone in this congregation. May I command that everyone under the sound of my voice receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let there be a shout of tongues and a praise.
Wow, that was pretty awesome. Love Talk Mom.
Oh, this was exactly what I needed, and I just thank you, Wild Bill, so much. This with the different settings and situations, this was so anointed, and I can't thank you enough. It's just beautiful. I'm just sitting here in the presence of the Lord, and it's just amazing how every faction of that tabernacle volumes about covenants and about Jesus and about us, and it's just amazing to me. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Like Wild Bill said, we were very privileged to sit under the teaching of Dr. John Scheel, and he really taught everything about the tabernacle. It was just, I couldn't comprehend it, actually, because of just, it's so vast. But the foundation, the beautiful foundation, and it's continued. I'm just sitting here in the presence of God. So I trust that Wild Bill will be with us tonight.
I'm sure he will. He's still not able to. I mean, he's not able to yet.
This was just amazing, Sister Starla. Every part of it was just, it ministers and it takes you into the presence of God and opens your understanding as it does. It builds your faith. It's not like you're reaching or struggling. It's like it's filling you just every direction. It's just so beautiful. So very beautiful. I think I may have to listen to this one over again 2-3 times. I'd be like the other series you had. But you can't really deplete the lessons that goes with it. Brother Mangan did a fantastic work with it. Of course, he had some type of PowerPoint, but it would be easy for anyone that's listening to find that on YouTube, just a PowerPoint or something, an illustration of the tabernacle. But this is just wonderful. Sister Charlotte, did it speak anything special to you tonight?
It gave you a broader picture of the tabernacle, I think. I mean, it was just incredible.
There are so many places, you know, like just coming into the tabernacle, enter his courts with thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. And that's absolutely what you do, you know. And I know today I have sort of battled grief, and I know grief is real, and it's not a sin to grieve. The Holy Ghost was grieved. But still, a couple of different people said, which way was I looking at it? Was I, you know, focusing on the wrong side, maybe? And that was good. That was good, because we know of the awesomeness that surrounded the life of Dr. Gene Holland, and everyone that knew her benefited tremendously. And the reunion that she would be having in heaven with the Lord, we don't fully comprehend that, but I know that there would be rejoicing and a race totally won right to the end. There's still memories, seem like, that gives us one more reason to go to heaven. One more wonderful reunion we'll have, won't it be?
While Bill said that that was not a PowerPoint, they had furniture on the platform.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine being there and seeing that? That would be so awesome.
When I attended Brother Mangan's, I don't know what conference it was, but in the prayer room, you would go in and you literally prayed the tabernacle. If you wanted to, I mean, you didn't have to, but you started at the beginning and you worked through, and it was really beautiful, just beyond anything I think I'd ever witnessed, because people were praying and it was so anointed. And he also was probably one of the best services that I ever was in, with foot washing and communion, which is my favorite service of all that there is. And I just was amazed at his father could make a point that was so simple but so profound. One of the conferences that I was watching, and the preachers would get up, and the ministers would get up, and the song leaders would get up, and you know, admonish everybody, praise God, and praise him, you know, for this, and praise him for that, and remember, so you have a heart of praise, all the way through it. And then he got up at the end, he said, it's wonderful to praise God, but it's also important to worship God, and you worship God by how you respond to his word, and you live. You can praise him for all the good things, all of the forgiveness, everything. Praise him. Praise him for what you feel. Praise him for all of those things. But worship him in spirit and truth, obedient to his word, searching, allowing your heart to be searched and cleansed. It was said. Because I don't only want to just praise him, I want to worship him. And I don't know if anybody else ever gets irritated, but sometimes I do. And it's hard to believe that I do that because you know I'm perfect. Simple thing about saying, oh, forgive me, Jesus. I don't want that, you know, to hang around. You didn't know I was playing, did you?
I did.
Used to when I preach, I had to stop. Tell everybody I just told something funny. But they didn't laugh. What were you going to say before I interrupted you?
Sounds like your phone is a little bit fuzzy. I don't know if it's mine or yours.
Yeah.
But
I think it's mine. My phone has been, we're in a storm here.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's been other calls that I've had tonight have been hard for us to understand each other. Sorry about that. I'm thankful the storm seems to be passing by. It's really loud. I love the songs that they sang.
Those were awesome.
And like you said, it wasn't about, because I love rhythm. I mean, I'm a rapper, so I have no stones to throw at anything with. I love it, and I worship with it. In fact, to the point that sometimes I think I need to help. But also that quiet, deep move that you can feel as they sang those songs. I've been really healed and blessed tonight. I mean, it was good to know, to review it and to experience it, but the Spirit of God has, I thank you so much. We haven't been in church, but it's mostly been in our memories and love for Pastor Holland. And it's been deep, rich, beautiful, but nothing like tonight where you're just so refreshed. It was so. I would mention that Sunday morning that we were going to meet at the cemetery, not really have a graveside service, but everyone had brought unbelievable amount of balloons to let go at a particular point in the cemetery. Well, my beautiful, wonderful attitude showed up when it was mentioned to me, and I thought, well, that's not it. And I just thought, that's not a good thing to do, you know, whatever. And, I think I did say something to you about it, but you're the only one. And then when we got out there and they began to speak about, it's not on the outside, it's that inside, that balloon, you know, that's going to really, it was just beautiful how they tied it in, the scripture, the illustration, everything. And at one time they prayed, and we prayed, and we let go of the balloons at the same time. And it was one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen in my life. It was just amazing. And as we went up in the sky together, and then I've just never seen anything as beautiful. It was such an illustration of what the minister had said, that, you know, that be caught away to be with the Lord. You know, just, oh, it is really something. It's so beautiful. So I guess everything is an illustration of the wonder of God. It was beautiful. I remember one got to take part of even the smaller children, and it was just very, very beautiful. We had people coming there from other states, Sister Sheil, actually it was Jason and that whole family in part. But Sheil had preached the 10 o'clock service Sunday, which was absolutely perfect. and Sister Belen was playing the organ, I believe, and she began to sing, "I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him." The name of our church is Jean, the same tabernacle. Or we call it the Lighthouse, and then Blue Shields University is the Lighthouse. And then Jesus is so absolutely the Lighthouse. And I heard a story years ago about a man that was in a ship, and he was approaching. It was a storm, and he see the light, and he thought it was another ship coming his way. So he used his authority to tell that ship it had better get out of the way. So he said, "I'm so-and-so and so-and-so, and I command you to get out of the way." And the other voice came through and said, "Well, I'm the lighthouse, so I think you need to get out of the way." That wasn't the exact words, but sometimes we stand before God and His word, and we're going to tell Him what to do. He's the lighthouse. We follow Him, and we'll have eternal life with Him. I wish, oh, this is so beautiful. I'm looking forward to hearing Bob Bill's voice speak. I know, it takes a while.
Wild Bill?
Well, if y'all got a fuzzy phone, I think y'all need to take it and get it shaved.
Did you say I need to pay my bill?
No, if you had a fuzzy phone, I said you ought to go get it shaved.
Oh, that's not funny.
Oh, it's a little funny. I really appreciate everything you guys have said about the show tonight. He fit this so well with the ending of Paul, and to look at the understanding, the knowledge of what he had of the Old Testament, and how that he and all that was of the Old Testament. And so that's why he had so much understanding. He was able to teach so well to show the pattern that was complete in Jesus of what was established before. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, that was a law. We're under grace, and we don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore. But they don't really understand what it is that they're saying when they make comments like that, when they don't really actually understand who Jesus, we say there's one God and Jesus was God robed in flesh, but you don't really get understanding until you can really grasp the whole meaning of what it was with the tabernacle plan, you know, to what it was that Jesus had for all of us. And it's just so amazing. And I was just, as I found this, was going through it and set it up for the show, I thought, you know, if we just took the time on a daily basis to go through each of those steps as he was talking about, how much more could we see miracles, signs, and wonders happening in our life than what we do right now? The things we ask questions like, you know, why am I not seeing more healings? Why am I not seeing more miracles? Why is there no signs and wonders? Why are these, why? Maybe it's, we take a scripture where it says we have not because we ask not. But sometimes we don't ask properly. We don't follow the respect that goes along to being able to go into the presence of an almighty God and to realize what it is, all the things that we are to be grateful for. And I just, I don't know, I was just so stirred. Everybody's probably looking at me at work saying, what is he sitting over crying for? Excuse me.
Aww.
But it was just, it's just, you know, when you stop and think about all those things and how it just all so fit into who Jesus was, if it doesn't stir you, there's something wrong with you. Like some people said, you would wet. And, but it just, I don't know, thinking about that with Paul, and then I just looked and I saw a comparison of Sister Holland with Paul. All the people she touched, all the people she reached out to, all the people she raised, the things she established, it may have just been in one community instead of over a broad span, but she actually touched more people than Paul did. Can you wrap your hands around that, your mind around that, just to think of all the people that was able to have their life changed? I like to say there was over 100 different children that had problems in their life that she helped raise. 100. Over 100. And it's kind of fun to sit there and talk about the little things of everyone's got their little idiosyncrasies of things and how they say things and their pet peeves. And, you know, those things were just great to hear about in the funeral. And it's so easy to just think about, just get wrapped up in and smothered by the personal loss. The fact that she's no longer there. She's no longer, as the pastor said, that safety net where you're on a trapeze and you don't have to worry too much because if you fall, she was there, and she was so much of a force in everything that she did. I mean, just walking up and taking you by the wrist and looking you in the eye, you knew you was in the presence of somebody that was special. You know, there wasn't no ifs, ands, and buts who was in control. There wasn't no ifs, ands, and buts about what the authority came from in that church. She just was who she was. And trying to, you can't even dissect it without not actually tearing her down some. But when you think of that song I had at the beginning, I know it, you know, seemed like awful happy-go-lucky and everything. But when you think about the part of it, not our sadness, but her reward, and you look at it that way, then you get to feeling kind of like, man, I shouldn't be so selfish. You know, I shouldn't be, you know, so concerned about these things. Someone's got to pick up the ball now and go forward. Someone's got to take up that mantle and make sure things keep going. You know, someone's got to be there to help, you know, hold up pastor and the ministry, the things he talked about as you go through the different stations there where, you know, there was that part there where you stopped and you prayed for the ministry. You know, it's real easy to have roast pastor and carve him up one side down the other after church, but then you got to deal with that when all of a sudden you want your children to respect somebody that you've tore apart in front of them day in and day out. And it just doesn't work. You can't say, pastor, I need your help. I need you to come talk to this, my daughter or my son, when you ripped him up one side down the other every time you left church, especially if you preach something that kind of hits you a little bit, you know. Oh, I don't know if I really believe that, you know, and I think he's just targeting me, and he's a bully pulpit. And, you know, it's just life is one of those things that you learn as you go, and you never really arrive to what it is that God has for you. You're always striving for the mark. You're always stretching and achieving and growing and maturing and forgetting things that you need to remember and remembering things you need to forget. And this, it's all just part of the process of what it is to live for God. But I don't know about you guys, but just thinking about the deep presence of God as you went through each of those things, just thinking about just how blessed we are to have the Word of God that we can have in, at any time, day or not, just have it to look at, to be a resource, to be a strength, to be a weapon, to get us in contact with God, to understand more about who he is and who he wants to be in our life and the relationship he wants to have with us towards him. I don't know. It just, the whole thing just really, really just stirred me when I put it together and then listened to it again tonight. And like I say, it just seemed to fit so well with the ending of Paul. And then this, I don't know, maybe someone would say, well, that's kind of a far reach to compare Sister Holland to Paul. You know, he was the greatest apostle that ever was. Well, I hate to say this, and I don't want, you know, make anyone feel bad about, you know, comparison to pastors and things, but I put Sister Holland right up here at the cream of the crop when it comes to pastors. To be able to have as many preachers as she developed in her church and not have all the squabbles and things that come. Some churches have four or five and they can't hold it together. They have church splits every time you turn around because the squabbling and people jealous and, you know, they think theirs should be prominent. They should be the one to speak more and their voice should be the one that's heard. And sometimes you just get lost in the whole concept of what it is to be a minister, is to be a servant. And Sister Holland never lost that. She never lost that love for people where she could be firm, but she did it in love, to where she could look you in the eye and it just, you felt like she was just peeling off layers to look and see what was inside of you, but you knew you could trust her. You knew that you could go ahead and just open up and be honest with her, and she appreciated that. I won't ever forget one time when she was talking to me, she laughed and kind of wrapped her arm around me and pulled me to her, and she says, I like you, brother. She says, I like a man that will look you in the eye when he talks to you, not looking around everywhere. You know, it just, I don't know. It just, the words in itself don't really seem to be much, but coming from her, man, all of a sudden I felt like I was 10 foot tall. you know, I've been complimented by the best of the best here, you know, and it's hard to put into words what it's going to be like going forward to have that gone. But God is prepared. He's not caught off guard. Everything is to his time. We ask him to order our steps, and he does if we let him. And so now we just have to go on from there. This church is going into a time to where, and we all are in a time to where it's no longer walking along with the foot soldiers. We're now facing the time of the chariots. And as things race towards the end time, and Satan is doing everything he can to corrupt everything to make it. The churches are even just getting so corrupt, and some of the things they're accepting in churches right now, it just almost will just make you sick to your stomach. And to remember that we need to hold fast to those old landmarks, to the wells that were dug and the altars that were built, and to remember that biggest piece of furniture in the tabernacle was the altar, where death took place, where all the killing took place. And that's where we got to lay down our sins. And a lot of people think repentance is just, I'm sorry. No, repentance is, I'm so sorry, Lord, I don't want to do it no more. Help me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want that to be who I am anymore. I don't want that to be part of my, I want to turn away from those things and turn more towards you. I don't want no separation. And to understand that God establishes what's sin, man doesn't. And so when men try to say, well, I don't think there's really anything wrong with that and everything, you need to run away from that, because God's made it very clear in his word what is sin and what's not sin, what he loves and what he hates. And so I know I seem like I've kind of circled the wagons here twice going around on this, but I just I feel really blessed that I could call her my friend. I feel really blessed to see all the things that she did to help my mom in a time of crisis, to where there was no safety net for you. There was nothing there to help you. There was. It looked hopeless in everything that you had facing you. And then you had Sister Holland, and all of a sudden everything just fell in place. All of a sudden you were fitting into something where you were needed and wanted and loved and cherished, and then you were able to love and cherish and be a part of what those people had going on, because it always works both ways. It's not a one-way thing when it comes to living for God. So that's really all I have for you guys tonight. But I'm curious to see if you guys have anything else to say. I need to load up the stuff in my truck and get on down the road.
I would like to say that if anybody wants to, she has three books on Amazon. It's titled My Heritage, Volume 1, 2, and 3. It's absolutely full of tremendous insights and her wisdom and her anointing. So you go to Amazon, My Heritage, and it's three different volumes, and you will really be blessed, I promise you.
Well, Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything else?
Just wanted to share that about the books. Were you able to hear me with the phone acting up?
Oh, yeah. No, we heard you. I heard you.
Okay. Yeah, just the preface of the last book of what she put in there, the scriptures, and how she admonished everybody of the end time, and that God had definitely spoke to her heart at 80 years old to pass that mantle of the pastorate to Brother Smith. There was no doubt about it. Tremendous service when she did that, and we're under tremendous, wonderful leadership now, and we thank God for Brother Smith and his beautiful, wonderful wife, Sister Peggy Smith. They are the dedicated, loving, called people that she said they would be, and they are, and so we are blessed every way you can turn right now, even though we do, as Rob Billy brought out, we must look at the beautiful bright side, not be selfish in our thinking. So, and not that I would think that it would be a mistake on her part or God's part, but oh my, what a void someone like that can feel when they pass on. So thank you, Sister Star and Rob Billy, again. I've been greatly blessed by our program, your program tonight. But God bless you, and I look so forward the next week.
Well, thank you so much. Blog Talk Mom. We really did enjoy it tonight. And we are really going to miss Sister Holland and her awesome, ginormous prayer covering that she is going to, that we have lost. And she was a wonderful, godly woman, and she will be missed. Well, we pray that you guys have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.